Hate in Europe will be published in a series of 30 chapters beginning Monday, November 8th, in the Minneapolis Morning Tribune.
It's 1:30 Sunday, time for the Bernie Bierman Football Show, brought to you by Juster Brothers.
Minnesota, hats off to thee, to thy colors true we shall ever be, firm and strong, united are we. Rah, 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 sky you must, rah, 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 for the U of M.
Yes, fans, it's the Bernie Bierman Football Show, brought to you today and every Sunday throughout the football season by Juster Brothers, the Northwest's largest exclusive men's store on 6th Street just off Nicollet in Minneapolis. Remember, it costs you no more to wear clothes from Juster Brothers, for Juster's gives you extra style, extra service, at no extra cost. Folks, for the inside story of yesterday's game between the Minnesota Gophers and the Indiana Hoosiers, lend an ear to the Juster Brothers Football Forum. Here to talk football are Bernie Bierman, head coach of the Gophers, Babe LaVore and Paul Wan of the WCCO sports staff, P.B. Juster, president of Juster Brothers, nationally known style authority, with his color comments on yesterday's game, and, of course, Halsey Hall, WCCO sports director, and his all-conference team of the week. Music is by Toby Prynne and the Juster Cheerleaders. And here to call signals for today's huddle is Halsey Hall.
Thanks, Eddie Beeman, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Yesterday was certainly a fine afternoon for football all over the country. And for you Minnesota fans, yesterday's game with the Hoosiers was much more to your liking. For the Golden Gophers picked their homecoming game to show the greatest power they've shown all season. We're going to hear in a couple of minutes from not-so-laughing boy Bernie Bierman, but before getting to work on the coach, let's ask the Juster cheerleaders to pay their respects to the mighty Wolverines of Michigan, still listed as the number one team of the country. Yesterday, Michigan scored its 20th straight victory by going through the air to beat the stubborn Illinois 11, 28-20. Congratulations also should go to the Fighting Illini. Okay, cheerleaders.
Hail to the victors valiant, hail the conquering heroes. Hail, hail to Michigan, the leaders and best. Hail to the victors valiant. Hail to the conquering heroes. Hail, hail to Michigan, the champions of the West. We're loyal to you, Illinois. We're orange and blue, Illinois. We'll back you to stand against the best in the land, for we know you have sand, Illinois. So smack that blockade, Illinois. Go crashing ahead, Illinois. Our team is our great protector, long boys, for we expect a victory for you, Illinois.
Friends, this is Ed Beeman with a word from Juster Brothers. I'd like to take just a few moments to talk about one of the reasons why Juster Brothers has become the largest exclusive men's store in the Northwest. That one good reason is experience. Experience gained from more than 40 years of helping to solve the clothing needs of Northwest men. Under the leadership of P.B. Juster, president of Juster Brothers and fashion consultant to Esquire magazine, Justers have developed the know-how and the skill that combine to build a reputation for style, quality, and sound value. And it's so easy to learn for yourself what so many Juster customers already know, that Juster Brothers does offer you something extra and at no extra cost. Simply drop in at your earliest convenience. Whatever you select, you can be sure it's right when you have the trained Juster salesman to help you. Make it a habit. And you're invited to buy on the convenient Juster 90-day charge plan if you wish. Justers are located on 6th Street, just off Nicollet in Minneapolis. And now, Halsey, time to hear from you and Bernie Bierman.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bierman. I don't think it's strictly a question today of how are the Gophers, but of how are you? You were snorting and sniffling a little bit yesterday as if left-end flu had thrown a block at you.
Well, I feel a little better, Halsey, but I'm still kind of rocky.
Nice going to you and the Gophers. Would you say you are now on a winning streak, having won one straight?
Hardly that, but it's rather nice to win one now and then.
Mr. Juster, will you step up here and award the trophy for understatement to Mr. Bierman? Seriously, Bernie, did any special thing make the difference?
I think the best way to put it is that the kids just came up pretty generally. On the whole, it was our best performance of the season, starting with the second quarter.
I was going to ask you if the fact that the boys could come back didn't give you your greatest satisfaction.
That's probably true. It is nice when you can come uphill to win a game.
How do you size up the trend of the game?
Well, at the start, you saw what I meant last Sunday when we talked about Indiana having a very good first team. The Hoosiers started very strong in the first quarter, and we did not get our attack going until after they had scored.
I know you and I and all our listeners in would like to pay tribute to George Taliaferro, the steaming number 44 of the visitors.
Absolutely, Halsey. I consider Taliaferro to be the finest running halfback we have met all season. When he was injured, there's no doubt it handicapped Indiana.
How about that touchdown pass from Taliaferro to McDonald? That little receiver really put on quite a scamper.
Yes, he did. Part of the success of the play was due to Taliaferro's threat of a reverse, but McDonald came up with a beautiful piece of running, and Indiana also blocked.
Regarding Taliaferro, I noticed most of the Gophers praised him, too.
And deservedly so. He was the type of runner that you had to pin down to hold him. He stayed on his feet and fought well.
Well, PB, get that trophy for understatement out again. Bernie, some of us were talking after the game, and we couldn't recall when so many Minnesota quarterbacks had run so often and so well with the ball.
Well, it happened that our quarterbacks found a certain hole in the Indiana defense. It offered some opportunities, and our kids just took advantage of them.
Minnesota's defense held Michigan to a plus 22 yards rushing and Indiana to a minus 23. Is that a record?
Well, we've had some minus marks at other times in the past, but there were a few times when Indiana's deep passing bothered us a little. Then they threw some of those very short, sharp passes that are almost sure of completion. I think, however, our secondary was more alert and had better coverage than in other games.
How about a few individual bouquets from the Juster Floral Department?
Well, once again, it was a case of Leo Nomolini and Clayton Tonnemaker turning in fine games up front. I thought our ends as a group also worked very well.
It was nice to see Billy By romping once again.
Yes, it was. Billy furnished quite a lot of spark. He came back to normalcy for the first time since our opening game out at Seattle.
That was a beautiful play where Dale Warner received a punt and gave the ball to Jack Sturtevant on a crisscross with Jack running almost all the way.
Well, we were sort of looking for that play from the bench. We knew it might be coming sometime, but we did not know it was going to gain that much ground.
Do you realize, Bernie, that of the 10 complete Minnesota forward passes, they were caught by 10 different men? I can't recall any equal to that freak mark.
10 completions to 10 different men. Well, I'd rather have it that way than all successful passes being concentrated in one or two spots.
Is there any rule that you have written for your squad that Gordy Salto has to make the tackles when he kicks off? He made 3 out of 4 yesterday.
No, it's strictly a free-for-all proposition. I thought Salto did a fine job both on his kicks and his defensive work.
Did you use all the men you wanted to?
Well, I believe so. I tried to get everyone in, and I think we used our complete A squad.
How about Indiana's recklessness in passing from its own end zone? That was quite a gamble.
On those occasions, you must remember, our defense was whacking in there pretty hard. Indiana was gambling, but it actually was just trying to get out of a hole.
Harry Jagaty played well at fullback for the Hoosiers?
Yes, he did. Jagaty has always been a hard worker. He and Taliaferro were easily Indiana's two most outstanding men.
How about injuries?
I'm very happy to say that we came out well again physically. Nobody was seriously hurt. Dave Skrine has a Charlie horse, but it doesn't amount to much.
That's good. Now go rest your mastermind a while, Bernie, because I'm very happy, too. On account of the cheerleaders are going to salute North Carolina's close 14-7 victory over Tennessee, and that means old man Hall will hear his favorite song again, that of the U of T Volunteers.
Here comes Carolina Lina, here comes Carolina Lina, we hail from NCU. We've got the spirit in it, we've got the pep to win it, we wear the colors white and blue. So we'll fight, fight, fight for Carolina, as Davy did in days of old. And we'll gather round the well, cheer the team we love so well, for the glory of NCU. Oh, what a thrill when the boys on the hill fall in line, we know they'll fight with all their might. And then we'll yell, yell and yell, when the balls take the field, they're out to win. Oh, that's again. Oh, it's Tennessee, it's the O-U-T, it's the orange and white in the field. So we cheer the volunteers as they go on through the years with the spirit of the hill.
My personal thanks, cheerleaders. Very well done. That brings us around to the point in our Jester Brothers football show to hear from another member of the WCCO sports staff, Paul Wan. He's going to tell us a little about what happened on the other gridirons in the nation yesterday afternoon. Paul collects reports from CBS sportsmen all over the country and from the Sunday Tribune reporters who cover the Big Nine games. Okay, Paulie.
Well, Halsey, as you know, homecoming was the theme at Memorial Stadium yesterday. And, of course, that meant old grads, pennants, balloons, and decorations galore. But to the students and spectators, it meant something else again, as the sophomores around the Big Nine took charge of the proceedings and the Sunday headlines. Bierman practically emptied the bench, and Johnny Miller, a first-year varsity man, practically emptied the stands as his runs for Northwestern sparked the Wildcats to a 21-7 victory over Ohio State. Bernie Swanson reports that Miller made runs of 27, 13, 20, 11, 18, and 22, along with a one-yard buck for a touchdown. A pretty fair afternoon for a senior, much less a sophomore. Babe and I saw this boy in offensive action for only one play at Evanston and have wondered ever since why he didn't play more. We wondered, too, if that Illinois line, light and scrappy, could hold up against three Michigan teams. George Barton reminds you that midway of the fourth period, the score was 21-20, and that's pretty fair performing against Michigan, even if you lose 28-20. Van Patrick, on the other hand, of our telephone research wire yesterday, said from his broadcasting booth that Illinois was on the march again with Kruger throwing when Leo Koseski grabbed one of his passes and that Illinois seemed to fold after that last supreme effort. The Wolverines went on from there to get their last marker. Joe Hendrickson traveled to Iowa City and says that Iowa looked like a beaten team at halftime after Gene Evans dashed 32 yards for one score and Jim Imbach went 9 for the other Wisconsin counter. But from that 13-0 deficit, Iowa roared back. Tate Cummins, who watched the game from his WMT booth, said it was a triumph for Eddie Anderson's confidence in his sophomores. To say that they came through is putting it mildly. DeMarco's passing was not even used as a threat as Iowa went on the ground to leave 19-13 victors over the Badgers, who were still fighting, though, in Iowa territory at the gun.
Very good, Paul. Thanks a lot. Now let's go east for a Jester cheerleader salute to the mighty Green of Dartmouth, whose passing attack functioned perfectly as 66,000 persons jammed the Yale Bowl to see the Greenies overwhelm Yale 41-14.
As the backs go tearing by, on the way to do or die, many sighs and many tears mingle with the Harvard cheers as the backs go tearing by. Making gain on steady gain, echo swells the sweet refrain. Dartmouth's going to win today, Dartmouth sure must win today as the backs go tearing by. Bucks, bucks on down the field, fighting for Eli. Break through the crimson line, they're spraying to defy. We'll give a long cheer for Eli's men. We're here to win again. Harvard's team can fight to the end, but yeah, we'll win.
Now from week to week, Mr. P.B. Jester, president of Jester Brothers, nationally known men's style authority, and fashion consultant to Esquire magazine, presents his impressions of the Minnesota football point of view. P.B., if you'll pardon me without a necktie on at the moment, what does your style notebook reveal about that exciting homecoming affair with Indiana yesterday?
Well, Halsey, no one could have asked for more in the way of a homecoming spectacle. All the Clinton's old grads mingled with students to cheer the Gophers to a decisive homecoming victory. And one of the most colorful spectacles, as you know, of the afternoon was at the opening kickoff when thousands of maroon and gold balloons were released.
We got a thrill out of that, P.B. All in the first quarter, we thought our head was up there, too. People were so interested in watching the balloons that they almost forgot to watch the kickoff.
Yeah, but not the old grads, Halsey. Their eyes were on that team from the first whistle, and they were there by the thousands, the old-timers back for the event of the year. It was fun to see them, and as usual, they were happy to be back. You know, among them was George Finlayson of Duluth,
George is one of the oldest M men, having graduated in the 90s. Harvey Ring, chairman of the M Club reception committee, pointed out among the old grads back for the game such notables as Sig Harris of 19-3, Johnny McGovern, Bill Bevins of 34, Dr. Davis of Faribault, George McKinnon, 30, Ray King, the 1936 All-American, Dr. Bill Wyden, the famous tennis star, Jack Hansen of Des Moines, who played with Bernie German back in 1915, Vic Spadafini of the Range, who starred back in 36 and 37, Mark Matthews, who I understand has a boy on the squad,